covered the new sprinkler system. So I figured I would say a little bit on the Gedarim of Leisasim Damim Beveisecha and the Gedarim of Sakana, Bechlal, what the Chiyuv of Shemira from different Dinyanim is. Simon Tav Chav Zayin, at the end of Chayshim Mishpat, the very last Simon. Chayshim Mishpat, so in Sif Ches, the Mechaber says the following. The whole Simon is dealing with the mitzvah of Micah, which we'll discuss also, but the Mechaber says, Chayin kol michshel, sheyesh bei sakonis nefashas, mitzvah asay lo asirai u yishomer mimenu lizar bedavar yofa yofa. Any michshel that has sakonis nefashas, the mitzvah asay to remove it, to guard from it, and to be very careful with it. Yofa yofa. Shenamar yishomer lecho ushmar nafshecho. Be careful and watch your soul. V'imloy heisir v'hiniach hamichshoyleis. He didn't remove it, or he put down stumbling blocks that may be in the day sakana, the kalita sakana, beat el mitzvah sasei, the other leisasim dav. He's mevatel mitzvah sasei, and he's over and alive of leisasim dav. Chaver is saying a very, very strong general statement, which is almost impossible to be magdir, I think, correctly, which is kol michshel that has sakonis nefashas. It's a mitzvah sasei to remove it, to guard yourself from it, to be careful from it. Anybody who puts such a michshel is mevatel a mitzvah sasei, and he's over and alav. So he's a sasei and alav to put it down or to not remove such a michshel. Now, to illustrate maybe a little bit some of the problems with being magdir this halacha. I recently saw, I think it was over the summer, I saw somebody, I think it was an article, I don't remember exactly the context, but I saw this hashara. But they made the following cheshbon. Okay, this is not a Torah cheshbon, this was some scholarly assessment of risk cheshbon. But the following cheshbon was made. That for every mile of, or every million miles that people travel by air, whatever the number was, so one person dies. In other words, the amount of sakana traveling by air is X number of people die per million miles of air travel. Right? Or somebody travels 10 times 100 miles, that's 1,000 miles of air travel. Right? So, based on the number of people that die in plane crashes, so per million miles of plane travel, so it's whatever it is. It's five people die. It's very low. Very, very low. Per million miles of car travel, so the number is much, much higher. Not a little bit higher. Not five per million miles of plane and six per million miles of, which is 20% higher. That's itself a big number. But it's something like 75 to five. It's a huge, huge number, huge, huge difference.
50%?
More.
More than 50%.
More than 50% higher. It was like five times as much. 10 times as much. It was a huge, huge number. We all understand that, really. You know, this is a plane crash makes big news because anytime there's a plane crash, 200 people die. 300 people die. But when a car crashes, so two people die, or one person dies. But there are many, many, many more car crashes than there are plane crashes.
Well, there's a lot. Plane crashes of one or two pilots.
There's usually a lot of people on the plane. Planes, see, the thing about a plane is that if the plane crashes, everybody dies. Well, except in a very, very rare situation. Right? In a car crash, obviously, number one, people get wounded and not died. But besides that, there's a very small number of people in any given car.
Yeah, but not every plane crash, it's like, it's so big.
Every plane crash, there are many people who die. Many more than in a car. Many more people fit in a plane crash, unless it's a two-person plane, which is not what we're discussing. Now, so let's say we're, again, this is the thrust of the article. Let's say we are the board of safety of trap. I don't know, whatever it is, right? So we want to make a law, and we figure out that planes would be less risky if they install a certain thing in the cockpit, right, or in the wings, or whatever it is. So we make such a law. The problem with making such a law is it's going to make plane travel a little bit more expensive, right? By making this law, so we're going to add $50, let's say, to every plane. Again, we're just picking a muscle, but this is the way the article is designed. Every $50 you add to a plane ticket means X number of people are going to travel by car rather than by plane. Right? That's a fact. Right? Obviously, some trips won't be taken at all. But a certain number of, right? Now, if we're, some people are going to a chasana next week in Toronto. So what makes the cheshbon that some people are going to travel by car rather than by plane? Because it's cheaper, right? So there's a significant amount cheaper for a person to travel by car than by plane. Every X number of dollars, we could, it's able to be shown, X number of dollars added to a plane ticket will cause X number of miles more traveled by car than by plane. So if we're sitting there and we're just dealing with planes and we want to go ahead and make a cheshbon, let's add safety, gewaldig, right? What's the downside of adding, let's say, X number of people, so people pay $50 more per plane ticket. But it's going to be safer. Less people are going to die by plane. But me'idach, what your cheshbon is incorrect, because more people are going to die by adding safety to the planes. Because by adding safety to the planes, you're going to cause more people to travel by car. And car is more dangerous than plane. So it's an impossible cheshbon to make on a certain level. If you think about it, right, you think in a kabbalistic sense, so you have to realize that such a thing is going to be a fact. That's true. You know, there's a certain number of plane trips that won't be taken at all. Right? So you've increased safety that way. Right? A certain number of plane trips that will be taken anyway. Right? So then that you've increased safety for those people. But based on what you're doing, a certain number of plane trips will turn into car trips. What? No, of course they do. Up to a point. Obviously, there's a line in which, you know, if we don't make the pilots sleep a certain amount before, so then the risk skyrockets, and it's not worth it. Right? Obviously, has to be a risk assessment. I'm just pointing out with this statement that things that seemingly might be very straightforward as adding safety or subtracting safety are not necessarily so straightforward at all. Because if you look at a problem in isolation rather than bichlali, then it's one way. But if you look at it as what's the ramifications, all the ramifications of such a thing, obviously a person can't cheshbon all the ramifications of anything, but, and this is, I remember hearing as a kid, and this is a davar pasha, that they figured out, and this is a fact, that they want to make a road safer. So they'll go ahead and make instead of it being very curvy, they'll make it straight. And there's a point in which it doesn't save any lives, because people go a little fast. So if it's a clearly safer road, people are less careful, and therefore the balance is hit. There's a balance point in which adding safety doesn't subtract lives lost, because what it does is it makes people feel a little bit more riskier in their behavior, right? Which is, again, that's a different kind of cheshbon, but it's also a fact on the ground cheshbon that people, based on how safe things are, and the same thing I think I saw recently with the cell phones, so they passed the laws that people can't talk on cell phones, they have to talk on not handheld devices, right? So again, there's a same thing. There's a point in which, okay, so it's a little bit more comfortable, so you're not saving any lives because people will be a little bit more risk averse.
It's more like safety for the government.
I'm talking the government making laws. If we are the government. No, they're not making laws because people are going to. I mean, I'm not saying they're not, but I'm saying that's not the cheshbon. That's maybe another cheshbon. There are other cheshbonis involved in all these things, but I'm saying if we're cheshboning safety, safety is not necessarily a straightforward process. That's one thing to keep in mind. We could deal with that on a much more basic level, and that's Nageya Halacha L'Maaseh. There's a famous tshuva from the Na'ivi Yehuda. and this we'll see already, maybe some of the Gedarim of these halachas. There's a famous shuv of Nadi Yehuda where it's in Yeridaya Simon Yud, which it discusses hunting. Is it mutter to hunt? Is it mutter for a yid to hunt? Is it also to go hunting? It's going into the forest, and you're hunting wild animals, deer, whatever it is. So the shaila is a mutter to hunt, also to hunt. Then Yehuda has a long arichos b'negeya, the halachas of Tzar Balei Chaim. Is there an Isser of Tzar Balei Chaim in this case? Is there no Isser? And the Maisa, Yehuda says there's no Isser of Tzar Balei Chaim under those circumstances, because since the person is being nana from it, there's no Isser. However, Nai Yehuda says,
is hunting, selling the,
oh, no, he's going hunting because that's his game. Right? Some people play baseball, some people go hunting. Right? It's a mitzvah. There's the people that go hunting. So, but he says it's keneged, and he uses a very strong lashon. He says keneged hashkafas Yisrael. He says the only people we find that were hunters in Tanakh are Nimrod and Esav, and that's not something a yid does. That's one of his things. But he says over there, now Yehuda says a very interesting thing, which Shmuley is bringing up a little bit. He says, besides everything that I'm talking is, like in Agad Ashkafa, he says that there's an Isser also. That can debarti mitzad yoishara and hogu. Sharoi lo'odam harkla hakamiza. Till now I was talking about the midas hayosher, what's the right thing to do. But now I should tell you there's an iser also. Sharei kolah ha'iskim bazet tzichon ikonis b'yareis. The people are Isaac in this hunting. So they go into the forest. L'hachnas asim b'sakonis g'daylois. They bring themselves into sakona. B'makim g'dudei chayis. They're wild animals there. V'rachmona amar v'nishmartam ha'ilin afshay secha. First has to be careful for his life. Who was a bigger expert in hunting than Esav? Pasuk says he was a hunter. He knew how to do it. What did Esav say about himself? Esav says, "I'm going to die." And Zok the Nadi Behuda, they make a yaitim yaitim shutai. What's Pasha Pshat and Pasuk? What he meant is that he's going to be in danger because he's going out and hunting wild animals and there's an element of danger involved. Even though he was an expert. The Pashas, I think, I would have said the Pashas in the Pasuk is he's hungry. That was his sakana. I mean, I'm not sure what the Nadi Yehuda means by this line. But Lamaisa, it's like something. The Chaper Shah Ramban Taka learns it that way. You may ata echi yachnis atzmai ish Yehudi lamakim gedu de chayis rais. How could a yid go ahead and put himself in such a danger in a place with his wild animals? Vavgam bazeh, misha hu ani. Somebody who's poor. Vahai says ulu mechiasek. This is Parnasa. He goes hunting, chveis bear skin. Bear. So he could get bear skin and he could sell it or whatever it is. Hadazah, tairi tira. That's the tairi's matik. If he's doing it for Parnassa, the Torah is Matthew. Like people go overseas. When it's a Tzairach, his living, and his Parnassa, there's no Breira. The Torah says, by the Isser of paying a worker late, or the mitzvah of paying a worker on time, the Torah says that what the Torah gives a reason. He's risking his life for him. Meaning the worker is risking his life and the employer. In other places, why did this guy climb a ramp or a tree? He risked his life. He did it for his wages. So you're going to go ahead and delay it? That's the But somebody who's not doing it, the ikker for his parnasa. He's doing it because he enjoys it. Mark that's the sakana raise the eyebrow and a shmat and my eyebrow on a lot. Zakta Nadi Yehuda. Very interesting thing. Right? There's no such thing that I could go ahead and eat tray if that's what I need for parnasa. Right? I could go ahead and cook pasta b'chalav because I need parnasa. I need a. There's a lot in the Torah. There's an Isser Hana, there's an Isser Lav to go ahead and do that. Zakta Nadi Yehuda, Nishmat and Maidan Avshesechem is different. Nishmat and Maidan Avshesechem, if you're doing it because you enjoy it, it's awesome. And you're over a lot, Zakhtan Ayyub. He's not pulling his punches here. You're over alive and nishmarta by ilan afshei seichel. But if you're doing it because it's parnasa, then it's mutter. Like we find, the Gemara says, workers, they would go ahead and climb trees, climb ramps, right? Well, for parnasa, that's mutter. Me'idach yisa, the same act, not less of a sakana if you're working and you're hunting because that's your parnasa to get fur or whatever it is. It's a shayla to do it to sell the food, sell the meat. If that's the ikar parnasa, then that's a shayla to sell treifas for parnasa. To make it your parnasa. That's a different issue. Whatever, why this guy is good, he's good at it. So that's why that's a separate issue, how to choose whether a person could choose such parnasa. But that's what Nizam and the other, that's how he makes his parnasa. There's a lav involved in doing such a thing. And Me'idach Yisa, he's saying that if it's a parnasa, it's mutter. So what's the gather of such a thing? What's the vart of such a thing? And he brings a raya. We never find that somebody can't go overseas. He's going through a business trip. We find the Chazal all the time talk about people who go on business trips. Now, there are those who learn. I think we mentioned it last time when we talked about Gaimel, the nusach of the bracha of Gaimel is a Gaimel Chayavim Toyveis. If somebody is Gaimel, the Rensham is Gaimel L'chayovim, to those who are Chayiv Toyveis. He gave them, so what's L'chayovim? So somebody who got sick, so obviously he deserved an Einish, so L'chayovim Toyveis. Somebody went overseas, so why is he Chayiv? So there are those who learn, he's Chayiv because he went B'sakon. He went ahead and put himself B'sakon. He went overseas, he went in a midbar, so he's called a Chayiv. There are those who learn that's Trat in the Bracha.
So why do you make him
Nobody said it's safe. Right. Nobody said it's safe. But that you can't ask me a kasha on the people who teach the nusach of a bracha from a case where you're saying there's no sakan. They're saying there is a sakan, right? Those who say that there's a bracha, like we talked last time, what the gedarim of the if taka there's no sakan, so then they chrami. And one of the svaras not the bench guy moving a plane is because it's taka not dangerous.
Why don't you say in karma?
Okay, so maybe a discussion. But my thing is, I'm just illustrating that those who learn, even though it's mutter to do, nobody's saying you can't go travel on a boat, but you're called a chayin because on my side you put yourself a sucker. That's how this is.
Rabbi, if you bench
cable
on a plane, you should bench
cable
on the same
jacket. That's what my side is.
Whatever.
I don't want to get into discussion of gaimel now, but on my side,
by fishing for sport.
So it depends. You have to go through this night of Yehuda whether there might be different types of hunting. First of all, fishing pashas is no issue of Tzar Bali Chaim. And second of all, fish supposedly have no tzar. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know. That's what they said. And they don't have the cessation of pain. Whether they do or they don't, I don't know. But that's what they said. And it could be that's because, you know, if you go out on a boat, I guess, you know, if you're going on a rowboat in the little lake, I don't know if there's much stuck under there. But if you go, if somebody's going on a, somebody's going fishing on out in the ocean, so maybe in a chanami, certainly fall into the gather of sakana, to a certain extent. And I'm not sure exactly where the line is, but that might very well fit into this naive. But the Nayyid, I think, is telling us the Yisai about Sakana. And that is that Sakana is not absolute. When we deal with Sakana, so there's always a cheshbon of risk versus reward, so to speak. Lamash. You're allowed to cross the street. You cross the street. Now, if we went ahead and measured our statistics, so we would figure out that of every, I don't know, million people that cross the street, right, one gets hit by a car. Right? Or obviously, nobody says that it's also to go driving, right? Also to drive a car. Maybe for some people in this room, maybe it is. I don't know. But for most people, there's no iser b'chlal, right? You decide to Shoprite. So you have to cheshbon, do I need to go to Shoprite to live? Because I won't have food to eat if I don't go to Shoprite. Now, I want to go get some oranges. So I'm going to go to drive to Shoprite. There is a certain element of risk, and we all understand there's a certain element of risk anytime somebody gets into a car. Right? We try not to maybe think about that, but everybody understands there is a certain element of risk, right? We put in our seatbelts, right? We look both ways. We're very good drivers, but lamaisa, there's a reason why the insurance companies charge insurance for everybody who gets into a car. And there's a reason why we do certain things that in order to lessen the danger. But lamaisa, there is a certain element of danger every time we go into a car. The truth is, there's a certain element of danger every time we walk in the street. And every time we go into a house, there's a certain element of danger. There's a certain element of danger in living. That's a fact. So everything we do, and people, there are people that have psychological problems, they can't deal with it. There are people who aren't psychologically damaged, but they have a certain risk factor. They get nervous at, somebody picks up a baby like this instead of like this, so they get nervous. And are they wrong? They're not wrong, but they're not right. Because there's a point in which it's considered a normal, acceptable level of danger, and there's a point where it's not. And the gather of this is what the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Shaimer Psoim Hashem.
Rebbe has spoken also about the credit cards. So they say that, every year there's a couple of thousands or...
I'm talking psychology now. We're not getting... Let's not get into other issues. It's a totally different issue. I'm not saying it's not a related issue, but it's a totally different issue. So there's a gather called Shaimer Psoim Hashem. What does Shaimer Psoim Hashem literally mean? The Rebbe Hashem guards the fools. But the gather of that is that what's considered a normal hanhaga of people is mutter to do. There's no law. If an obviously is not over in the Shemartim, but even Ashay Seichem, if they go ahead and walk down the street, there's an element of sakana. Okay, it's an element of sakana, but it's considered a normal, acceptable behavior for people. I once heard a maisa with the Ramesha, and I think this is the pshat in the maisa. The Ramesha got into a car, and this is in the early 70s, late 60s, I don't know exactly what kufa. And seatbelts had been invented, but they weren't yet standard in cars. I know it's hard to imagine such a situation, but now your car makes all sorts of noises unless you put on your seatbelt. But I'm old. And I think, if I'm remembering right, when I was a little child, it wasn't standard to have seatbelts in cars. Now, the double buckle, all sorts of cheshbainis. But Amal, there wasn't the worst thing. So this the person who had this car installed seatbelt special. He was the person who was driving the car. He was a nervous sort, I guess, and he put in seatbelts. He was by a chassan once, and he offered Ramesha a ride. And Ramesha got in the car. And he didn't put on a seatbelt. Nobody put on a seatbelt. It was a standard not to wear a seatbelt. And this person, he buckled up, and he asked Ramesha to please put on a seatbelt. Ramesha said, he doesn't know, do you have to put on a seatbelt? So the person said, he asked him to do it from a favor. Put on a seatbelt. Favor? Ramesha put on the seatbelt to be mad. That's how I heard the Ramesha. So, what's the pshat in the maisa? Did Ramesha not realize that there's a certain element of safety involved in putting on seatbelts? The stomach he did. Right? Even when it wasn't standard, but everybody understood that there's a reason why they were invented. It's a little bit safer. It's a lot safer. We can discuss how much safer it is. But there's a certain element of safety. And you're not mechuyev to do what's not standard precautions. What's considered standard risk-taking is mutter. There's no isser of a nishmat b'mayel nafshei seichel. And there's no lysos and dam veisach. A person was allowed at that point to drive a car without seatbelts. He's creating a danger. He's not creating a danger. That's considered standard, normal behavior. There's no lav of lysos and dam veisach. Chazanish, a very sadistic Chazanish, says, Chazanish goes on a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Gimel. The Gemara says the Gedarm of Abayis. Abayis is four amos, at least four amos by four amos. And the Gemara there gives a whole list of halachas: Benegaya Mezuzah, Benegaya Sukkah, Benegaya Eruv, Benegaya, a whole list of halachas that is Negaya, that the din is that a house has to be Dalet al Dalet. One of the halachas there is that a house has to be Dalet al Dalet in order to be Chayev in a Mite. Hamaika is that if a person has a roof, that people could go on. It's not a square roof, but a roof where people could actually use. So then the din is he has to make a fence around the roof in order, there are a fence of 10 tefachim high around the roof, in order that people shouldn't fall off. And that's really where the lav, is in the pasuk by the mitzvah asay of a mic. That's the rest of that simon in Shulchan Aruch is dealing with the mitzvah of a mic. So the Chazon Ish asks, and really others ask also, that what's the pshat that a bias that's less than dalet al dalet is not chayv in a micah? The same danger. If I cared, if the roof is narrower, it's more of a danger maybe than if it's a wider roof. But either way, the risk of is the same for somebody who's on the roof. So why would it be mutter to not put a micah on somebody's house if the roof is less than dalet al dalet? Zayfrek the Chazon Ish. Dvar Avram asks this kasha. The Rambam says that a roof that's less than dal al dal won't be used too much. So therefore, there's no, the Torah says that it's not a usable roof. Mela people won't use it. It won't be shtiyah for people to use it, and therefore it doesn't need a mic. Okay, that's the Dvar Avram. But the Chazon Ish doesn't say. The Chazon Ish says, he says, near the chol gag, einai bechlal hamechshaylos. So like the Chazon Ish, that really avada like the Shulchan Aruch passing every mechshol. That person has as a sakonis nefashis, the din is there's a law, there's a mitzvah say to go ahead and prevent the danger. However, zok lechazon ish, a roof is not bechlal amachshayles, would not be reached that standard. She'ein azekai motzi kokach, it's not so common. She'ha'ay made ala gag, zokher betivai li'izar. People who are on roofs are usually conscious that they're on a roof, that they're not on ground level, and they're somewhat careful not to fall off. It's also normal, Zach the Chazon Ish. It's minhagei shalaylam that people go on a roof and they have roofs. Just like it's mutter to climb a tree, it's mutter to go ahead and go up on a roof and build a roof. Or a second story without a mica. Like the same Gemara that the Nidiv Yehuda brought, that a worker would climb trees or climb buildings. Neimal as a bekevesh. Ella shebegag beis diro chidsha Torah mitzvahs Michael. The Torah was mechadish the mitzvah of Michael. The hakbar al sakonas hanoifel to be makwid on the sakon of the guy is going to fall. Vezet tzrichon letnai bayis teicha yud v'dalar al dalar v'shiyod v'sham adam. Zok the Chazon Ish, a roof does not fit the gedarim of a normal sakon. A roof would normally be outside the gather of what's considered a sakana, what's not considered a sakana. But the Torah is mechadish afal pikein. Somebody builds a house, he has a roof that's usable. It's mechuyif to go ahead and put on a mica anyway to take care of the more vital risk that would normally not be bechlal the iser of leisasim dam beveisa. He says. He says the reason is in a gamba bayish. Then you mechudish. I really don't mean the God borrowed the sulam ruah. The hasam mechin takolo shanichal layod lizar. Efshal azira lifrish meyazik abal gag. Efshal hazir shalayalu. He could tell people not to go up. Like talking the crazy about a gag mazik. He says basically, you know, a roof is different. A roof is different. Babel Pika in the Torah is Bechaydi to put it on. So again, so we see from the Chazon Ish that there's relative risk. The Chazon Ish is not saying a person can't fall off the roof. Obviously, the Torah is saying a person could fall off the roof and you have to put on a mica. But it doesn't fit the criteria of what would be a normal risk. Why? Because people know to be careful. In a situation where people know to be careful, like the Chazon Ish, even though there's a risk, that's why people know to be careful. That itself is a reason why you don't have to take precautions. You don't have to take the same level of precautions. So the Chazon Ish is really saying the Svara we mentioned with the road, but he's taking it to a personal level. Dr. Chazon Ish, in a case where people will be careful, one of their own, so you're not necessarily mechuyev to go ahead and make something that will prevent the sakana. You're only mechuyev to make something up, prevent the sakana in a situation where people won't realize that there's a bar in the chatzar. So people don't know. They'll come across it, they'll just fall in. There, that's a lot. That's like some, here there's a lot too, but it's a chit. But that would be b'chlal, the general klal, the general lav of leisos nam beisechem and shemartem leinav nafshesechem, depending for the person himself or for the people that are the people he's putting at risk. However, a roof is different. A roof where people know to be careful, that's different.
So a hunter also could be careful.
What?
A hunter could also take precautions against wild.
He could take precautions against some of them, but not against the one that's going to jump on him from the tree or that's going to come on him from behind. Right, there are risks in forests. Yeah, if you have a nice tame forest, you know, they have the animals jump out in front of you. That's good, but usually, certainly the forests be mayhem. We're a little bit more wild than maybe, you know, I don't know, snakes and other stuff were there too. Probably.
So. You say that if a roof is up and down, that it's so small that the person be really conscious, and therefore it's really not a house.
He doesn't go that far. He doesn't go that far. You know, he says a roof b'chlal is a chiddush, and the Torah is only b'chadush by a bias, right? Not by. Now, you're saying similar, and not, no, well, you're not saying really the Varavam. The Varavam says people won't use that roof. So that's the Varavam. So you're saying
it's.
Okay, so that's. I do think, in other words, there's an Isser. Let's say, in other words, the Gemara says that if Bezin goes around, one of the achrayas of a Bezin, of a city, is to send people around and check for dangers. So if they see a sulam ru'ua, a kaisel ru'ua, they see a wall that's shaky, so they give the guy his man to knock it down and to remove the. If he doesn't do it, so Bezin doesn't, they charge him the money and he's chai for any hezek that happens. So, but in other words, there obviously is a point where. You know that person should be careful. Person should put a wall that could fall down. So I guess if Bezin could check it out, a person who's walking by could also check it out. But not everybody's going to be conscious of it. Not everybody, you know, there's a certain level of risk, and then there's beyond that.
The walls, if they're okay or not.
Especially what?
What is looking around? I can walk by. Okay.
Okay, I mean, that's correct. So that's why Bezin will make him knock it down, but they give him time. They give him 30 days, unless they see it's going to fall down in an hour, but otherwise they give him 30 days to knock it down. For 30 days there's going to be more of a risk. But there's got to be some leeway within the. I mean, even the fire chief here, he didn't say, oh, tomorrow, there's a risk, tomorrow you got to put on a sprinkler, you know, for when they realized that we had the Bachramir, so they gave us 60 days, 90 days, I don't remember what it was already. But even by any, there has to be some reasonable gather to go ahead and do it. First of all, otherwise, if you do it in a rush job, then it's you're increasing the danger because you don't do it right. But even without that, L'chaira knows that everybody realizes there's risk, but there's long-term risk and there's short-term risk. Right? Obviously, you know, for somebody to take a crane and start dropping bricks in the street, so that we're not going to let a person do just for, you know, a couple of days. You know, that's a little bit too risky. And there's a speed limit, and the cops will, you know, won't pull somebody over who's going 66 or maybe even 76. But if somebody's driving 105, they're going to be after him pretty fast. I don't know if they'll catch him, but they'll be after him pretty fast because the level, what there's speeding and then there's reckless endangerment. And those are not the same thing. Those are. There's a certain level of risk, obviously, driving over the speed limit, and the roads are designed for certain speeds and not other speeds. And they're designed for speeds higher than the speed limit because they know that people go faster than them. But they're not designed for people to drive 100 miles an hour. And there is a certain level of risk every mile over. You know, we can do studies. Every mile over the speed limit, a person goes, there's X number more accidents, and the accidents are X amount more serious. I saw then if you come from Far Rockaway towards Brooklyn, so there's a big billboard, and it shows again. I don't know if it's accurate or it's not accurate, but it shows two skulls. One is this was a 35 mile an hour crash, and the skull is basically intact, and it says 25% chance of death. I think remembering the number. The other one is 45 miles an hour, right, and has the skull basically caved in, and says 85%. Chance of death, right? In other words, if a person is going and hits somebody, or a person's in a car that was in an accident that was going 45 miles an hour, which 35 miles an hour, 45 miles an hour, it doesn't seem to be that much of a difference. And again, I don't know if the picture is on the mark or is this exaggerating, but At some point, that's certainly true. I don't know whether it's at 45, maybe it's at 47, but the risk goes up for every mile, both the risk of having an accident and the danger of the accident, the seriousness of the danger will go up. And every risk has to be assessed in that manner. Every risk has to be assessed in what is standard. In other words, we're saying there's a couple of gedarim. One is, what is considered an acceptable risk, an acceptable behavior? And that might depend, again, like the Nei Yehuda is saying, on the tzairech to do it. If somebody's going ahead and he's hunting for fun, then Zuck the Nei Yehuda, the risk level is zero. You can't have any risk, or I don't know, any risk, but you can't have the amount of risk that hunting entails. Mashenkin, if he's doing it for Parnasa, well, he could. Now, nobody's going to say, okay, so then maybe you could jump off buildings for Parnasa, because, 20% of people who jump off buildings live. And that nobody's going to say, because it's too high risk. Too high risk. I don't know if anybody will do that either, but I'm saying that there, obviously there's a point in which the risk will answer that Parnasa. And maybe, somebody wants to become a medical volunteer to try out different diseases, see what the... So they'll pay his family a nice sum of money if he dies from it. But the higher the risk, again, maybe it depends on what the disease is. But the risk is pashtus too high. You can't go ahead and do such a thing. So there's got to be some sort of line in which, yes, it's Lutzer Parnasa, but even though it's Lutzer Parnasa, it's going to be awesome. Where is that line? That line might not be a firm line. In other words, the line might be, if it's a risk that people think is acceptable, then it's acceptable. Because that's a normal risk that people take. If it's not, then it's not. And it might really depend not so much on, okay, 25% of people who do this die, and this one, 30% of people die, and therefore it's usur. But it's considered and developed an acceptable risk, then it's mutter. If it's not considered an acceptable risk, then it's also because of this gather that we're saying of Shem Rapsayim, of Shem Rapsayim Hashem.
What's the Shem Rapsayim? Whether the dog keeps whatever he's supposed to, Hashem
the way they seem to tie Shem Rapsayim Hashem is that what people consider an acceptable level of risk is an acceptable level of risk. The behaviors that are considered normal, Shem Rapsayim Hashem. Right, that's called capacity. That doesn't mean there's not a makam to be more zayir than what the belt does, but it means that it's going to be. What? A pesi is not necessarily a fool. We teach it a fool, but it means somebody who's, at least the way the paisim seem to be going with it, it means somebody who's oblivious. Right? Somebody who's not reckoning the consequences of his actions. Which people are not. People act the way everybody else acts. What? If the pasuk is saying the Rebbein Shalom guards psayim, then it's considered a... Even though there's an element of sakana, but there's an element of sakana in everything. And so it's considered in Shaymer Psalm Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shalom watches Psalm, he knows it's not considered sakana. Not considered sakana. The Chinuch, when he deals with this mitzvah, he puts everything in the mitzvah saseh of Vasisa Maika, but he's kailed then in the next one, and he says, look, everything that I said in the last mitzvah is the Gedarim over here. It's a mitzvah Tav Kuf Mem Vav. So he says a whole gather in Hashkafa also of what the Isser is and when it's mutter. He says, there are people that the Rebbeinu Shem gave over the Teva into their hands. Like Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azaria, and others that were Zaycha Tenisim. But he says, most people, because of the Chataim, are not Zaycha to this tremendous Mailov. The Torah commands us to guard our dwelling places. That death shouldn't happen by our negligence. And we shouldn't put ourselves besakana because we're going to rely on the nes. Because you can hear somebody saying, oh, why should I worry? I wear a seatbelt. I'm talking. Stop having them talking. Right? So yeah, I'm going to wear a seatbelt. I'm going to go ahead and be careful. I'm going to, don't go close to the roof. Why? I have been talking. I'm not going to fall off. Right? So Zakti the chinuch, this is the chinuch, not the mechasinuch. Zakti the chinuch, that only tzaddikim gemurim, like Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, don't have to worry about risk. But regular people, he's king to Savannah, I tell you, Lishman, I'm going to say, you can't go ahead and put yourself in sakana because you'd be saying on a nice. Amr is a kind of bracha. And there's kainim, shekala saimech on a nice, ain't ice and lay nice. Anybody puts himself in sakana, he's saimech on a nice, they don't do for him a nice. Okay, that's a reason why a nice won't happen for him. Even maybe if in other circumstances, if he didn't do it, he would be zaychat a nice here now. Then he says, a pel de gazat. Al derech hazet here, raiv in yane aksuvim b'chamak. Because based on this, you can understand raiv in yane aksuvim. The things that we find all over Tanakh. He gambi hilacham Yisrael melchemes mitzvah pi Hashem. Even when Klal Yisrael went to fight a melcham, right, they're going to fight a melchemes mitzvah. It's a reasonable amount of sakana involved in fighting a melcham. But they were fighting melchemes mitzvah pi Hashem. And we find that under most circumstances, except by Ai, but Klal Yisrael, nobody got killed. But Zakta Chinuch, Hayu Orech Milchamton, they set up the Milchama, Umizainin Atzim, and they would arm themselves, Aisin Kolin Yonim Ke'elu, and they would do all the things, Ke'elu Yismachu Bedache Atevel Agami, as if they were being Saimech on the natural state of events. Chaim Ra'i Lassis, Lepia Inin Shazacharnis. And that's what a person should do, according to what I said, Rashel La Yachlik Ala Emes, May Ra'i Alei Yayyibizah. Pelik Lion Chinuch. He said that only somebody who's not going to argue in the truth, meirai alei, because he's as a mean spirit, he's mean spirited. Anybody who's looking b'secha yasher is going to be masked. Only somebody who's looking to make trouble will argue. So now you so the chinuch is saying a very interesting thing. We could hear, and I think I once saw somebody who says this actually, that in Nochama there is no Isser of Sakanas Nefash. You think? Because the mitzvah to go to Nochama, so obviously there can't be a mitzvah of an Ishmaelite Mo'ayim and Mashay Seichem when somebody's going to Nochama. Sounds good. But Zokta Chinuch, that you see that they treated Nochama v'derech HaTeva. They didn't say, oh, let's be Seimuch and Anais, we'll go to Mochama, Klal Yisrael will go fight, and they'll go like David HaMelech with Goliath, right? And we'll go fight. He didn't even take a knife, he didn't even take a sword. And David HaMelech, even a bow and arrow, he took a rack. So, but Zokta Chinuch, that's not how Klal Yisrael went to Mochama. Klal Yisrael went to Mochama and they took weapons. Klal Yisrael went and they went ahead, as we learned the Pesukim, they went ahead and, except by Yerichai, which was this the Mamish, the Betzibu, Bederech Anais. But they went ahead and set up a war, like we set up a war. They set up a battle plan and an ambush and a this and a that. Ki'ilu, it's b'darach ha'teva. Zok techinuch, that's how a person has to live. A person has to live, zok techinuch, b'darach ha'teva. Not to be saimech al hanes, he has to take reasonable precautions. Again, they went Muhammad, it's a risk to go with Muhammad, but to take the reasonable precautions, the precautions that are considered standard, that's what a person has to do. And the progression that are considered standard, that's together of when a person what a person has to do under most circumstances. I once saw a tshuva, and this you can understand what the famous tshuva from Rav Meisha about smoking. So Rav Meisha says, Shaymer Psaim Hashem. What does Rav Meisha mean by Shaymer Psaim Hashem? Smoking is risky. Rav Meisha is not saying it's not risky. Shaymer Psaim Hashem L'chayr, Rav Meisha is saying what we were saying before. Shaymer Psaim Hashem is this man that Rav Meisha wrote that tshuva 40-50 years ago. So it was considered an acceptable level of risk. Now, let's bring that to Yamenu and you'll understand what I mean. Is somebody allowed to eat a chocolate bar? Right, you could say, oh, chocolate bar says fat. And the doctors have done studies that the fatter a person is, he has a risk of heart disease, he has a risk of heart attack, he has a risk of right, all the diabetes, all the things that being fat causes. So it's a sakonis nefashis to go ahead and eat a chocolate bar. A person should be free to eat oat bran and vegetables and nothing else because that's the way to go. I'm not saying a person shouldn't do that. Maybe there is a makom to do that. But there's no isser in eating a chocolate bar for most people. I mean, obviously, somebody who's allergic is a different thing. For most people, there's no isser. There's a certain level of risk every chocolate bar a person eats. Right, unless the macabre, he's going to do a certain amount of exercise after every chocolate bar. But otherwise, and there's a certain amount of risk in exercise too. There's a certain amount of risk. So how's the person allowed to eat a chocolate bar? Because Shemir Psaim Hashem, it's considered normal behavior to go ahead and eat chocolate. Right? Is it a normal behavior? Same thing, Zakar Maisha in Biyama about smoking. It was considered normal, acceptable behavior to go ahead and smoke. It was understood that there's a certain level of risk. But it was considered a reasonable behavior, a reasonable risk-reward assessment. The hanah of the smoking was considered reasonable, copy the risk. That's why that tshuva of Rav Moshe is not nageya halacha b'zman hazeh. Partial. Because, number one, the risk has been much, much clearer what the risk is. And besides that, it has become, in most circles, unacceptable to smoke. And therefore, only chusim, shaba'am, really smoke b'zman hazeh. If you look around, you see, except for the people who are addicted from 40, 50 years ago, but the bedarach klal, normal, you know, reasonably educated people don't smoke anymore. And so the Pasha says you don't have the heter of Shemar Psaim Hashem anymore. And Rabbi Warmer is a once saying that anyway, he wanted to argue maybe with Ramesha, and he wanted to say because every cigarette is mazik, it damages the lining of the throat, so if there's no heter to be mazik yourself. Not the long term risk, but the personality, even if it's considered normal to go ahead and bang your finger with a hammer. But it's also to go ahead and do, because the person's not allowed to be mazik himself. So that's what he wanted to tie in, to argue on that heter. But the understanding of Ramesha's heter, I'm just explaining what Ramesha meant by Shemar Psaim Hashem. He doesn't mean, the Ramesha guards fools, they have to be talking, the Ramesha will take care of you, the person that smokes. That's not what Ramesha meant. Ramesha meant this heter. And this heter of Shemar Psaim Hashem says a person is allowed to take what's considered in the veld a normal, acceptable risk for that behavior. And therefore, at the time, it was mutter to go ahead and smoke. Whereas Bizman Hazeh, if Ramesh this meant B'dachavim B'tachavim, and therefore a person could go ahead and do risky behaviors, so then that would be Negev Bizman Hazeh also. But that's not what Ramesh meant. Ramesh meant that it's considered normal behavior. If it's considered normal behavior, then it's not a gather of Sakhan. Doesn't mean there isn't an element of risk. Just like walking down the street is an element of risk. Smoking was a higher level of risk, but it was, even beyond it, it was understood as a higher level of risk. But it was not considered beyond the realm of normal behavior, therefore it was mutter.
Does this apply to Gaim also?
In some ways, it applies to Gaim Shem Psaim Hashem. I don't know if the Isser Bechla, I don't know if the guy has a chiv of Nishmat and other natural sex. Maybe the guy's anyway allowed to do risky things.
And therefore,
no, I'm just saying, you know, it's not one of the seven mitzvahs in Ein Ayah of making a mitzvah or.
If he dies, he dies. If not, Hashem watches extra if he does something. Pasha's not.
He knows he's taking a risk. The guy, it's not a question of how risky is your behavior and you're putting yourself in a makom sakana. The question is it considered a normal and acceptable risk or not? Right, so a person might be willing to do it, but it's not in the veld considered as an acceptable level of risk. The poor parnasa, again, you're saying something else besides what we're saying. Right? You're saying for parnasa, a person can take a one level of risk, and that's considered acceptable. But lahanasa, just because he enjoys it, because he has a time to hunt, that the gather is different. Now, he doesn't mean you can't do anything risky for hanah. But he means that there has to be some line in which it's considered normal behavior, even for Hannah. But there is a point in which it's too risky for Hannah, but it's not too risky for Parnas. So that's a little bit of a different gather than we're talking about. I'm putting it into the same thing because I think people will be willing to take, it's considered normal behavior, to take a certain level of risk for Parnasa when you would not be considered normal behavior to take that level of risk for enjoyment. Acceptable is acceptable. Right? Acceptable is acceptable. Again, like we're saying, people go driving, people go in cars, people go on planes, people go up trees, people, those are all the same on Huggis, not different on Huggis by Yidden and by Gayim. And it's Gayim also don't want to die. Forget the mitzvah of Nishmat and Bayim and Asher Secha. People don't want to die, but they're willing to do certain risky. Now, again, there are people who are daredevils. There are people who don't have any thought for ramifications, right? That is one of the reasons that the insurance rates for teenagers are higher than for 25-year-olds. The reason is because teenagers live in the present and they don't think ahead. So therefore, they're willing to do, and you look in the veld. Teenagers do many behaviors that somebody who's just a couple years older wouldn't even dawn on them to do, go ahead and do, because it's just beyond the pale. But teenagers don't think ahead as much, right? That's whatever, for whatever reason, that's true. But Lamaisa, I don't mean anybody Chas v'Shalom in this room, I just mean in general, in the Velt, teenage, that's a function of being younger. A five-year-old doesn't think more than a week ahead, or if they're really thinking ahead. And, you know, they want what they want now, and they don't think about tomorrow. And that's why you have to put children to bed, because they don't think that if I'm up late tonight, I'll be asleep, I'll be tired tomorrow. Whereas somebody who's a little bit older realizes, except one person was once trying to argue me in yeshiva, that it doesn't matter when he goes to sleep, it has no ramification in his next day. But in general, right, people who, when they reach a certain age, right, whether that age is 10 or for some people maybe 25, they realize that what you do today has ramifications tomorrow. And the more mature a person is, and that's really the sign of maturity, is when a person starts actually thinking about the future and what the ramifications of different behaviors is. And therefore, if a person goes ahead, and a teenager will go ahead and drive a car 100 miles an hour because they want to have a race. Teenagers are invulnerable, so therefore they could go ahead and do such a thing. Obviously, the more mature somebody is, the less risky behaviors they're going to take. But we're talking here in the Velt, what's considered a normal behavior. Not that everybody looks at this person as taking a risk. Everybody looks at this person as being meshuggah when he goes out and drives his car 100 miles an hour down a residential street. You understand that? But we're talking about what's considered in the Velt, a normal behavior, a reasonable behavior, that's going to be mutter. But again, Lefidus Nayyub Yehuda might change based on the circumstances, based on the tzairach to go ahead and do that, which we all understand is also going to be true in the minds of people. And therefore, again, let's just come back to what we started with. The gather of what's called a sakana, what's not called a sakana, is not going to be so partial. Because what's called a sakana is not necessarily always going to be the same level. Not one, it's going to depend on circumstances, but two, it might very well depend on perception and what's considered normal or not normal behavior in any given circumstance. And besides that, again, the person's going to have to cheshbon, just to give back to the making a mica. Making a mica is going to increase the weight on the roof. There probably is, and I'm sure there is, a certain level of sakana in making a mica. If you go ahead and make a mica, it's going to increase the level, the weight on the roof, and there's more of a risk the wall's going to fall down. But, assuming the wall was made right, the risk of that is less, much less, than the risk of going ahead and not having a mica. But there's a risk-reward assessment. A person has to, in every given situation, you have to realize, and sometimes obviously hard to see, like we started with the muscle of the plane and the car, but you have to, if a person has to view the whole situation, rather than necessarily this specific situation that he's in, and Beis Hashem, none of us should have to come to any of these mashmalim.